From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Joe Biden on Thursday gave the first press conference of his tenure, taking questions from reporters on a variety of issues. Among the questions were ones that focused on voting rights, and this is what the president had to say.
Are you worried that if you don't manage to pass voting rights legislation, that your party is going to lose seats and possibly lose control of the House and the Senate in 2022?
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line waiting to vote. Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work. Deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances. The Republican voters I know find this despicable. Republican voters. The folks out in the outside this White House. I'm not talking about the elected officials. I'm talking about voters. Voters. And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic what they're trying to do. And it cannot be sustained. And do everything in my power, along with my friends in the House and the Senate, to keep that from becoming the law.
And that's President Joe Biden on Thursday at his first press conference. A day earlier, the U.S. Senate held its first hearing on the For the People Act, an ambitious federal overhaul of voting rights that aims to address myriad Republican-led voter suppression efforts around the nation. The House had passed the act some weeks earlier without Republican support. While Democrats are characterizing the bill as a restoration of democracy, Republicans are calling the idea of being able to vote a power grab. My guest is Fred Wertheimer, founder and president of Democracy 21. Welcome to the program, Fred.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So let's first talk about how serious the attack is on voting rights. This is, of course, not new that Republicans have in many states attempted to, you know, pass voter ID bills and in general make it harder for certain kinds of people, certain demographics to vote, students, elderly folks, people of color, etc. But what is new about the hundreds of bills that have been introduced since the November 2020 election?
Well, we have to look at the context. In the 2020 elections, we had the largest turnout of voters in history. At the same time, there was absolutely no evidence of any kind of meaningful fraud, voter fraud that occurred. Yet the former president spent months claiming that there was going to be voter fraud, and then he spent months after he lost claiming that the election was stolen from him by massive voter fraud. The so-called big lie that the president, the former president, spewed out. So this has been used as cover in a number of state legislatures by Republicans to pursue new voting restriction laws that would backtrack from the kinds of rules that resulted and allowed a massive historic turnout in 2020. And that is what's going on. There is an effort all over the country to try to backtrack, take us back really to the days of the Jim Crow era. And it's focused heavily on people of color, on urban areas where voters vote Democratic, on young people, and it's based on the idea that they want to make it much harder to vote when we should be making it much easier to vote.
Republicans who were asked to explain why they felt the 2020 election was stolen kept hammering back to this notion that, well, it's just that Republican voters feel that there was problems. And of course, they felt that way because those Republican lawmakers, along with, of course, former President Trump, kept asserting this without actually backing it with facts. In fact, most recently, Sidney Powell, who was a top lawyer in the Trump administration, who was pushing this lie that the election was stolen, was defending herself against Dominion voting systems. And she said in her court filings, no reasonable person would have taken her claim seriously. Quite unbelievable. So what would the For the People Act actually do? Remind our audience, the House passed this bill. The Senate is holding hearings. If it does pass by some miracle, and we'll talk about how it could pass, what would it actually do from a federal level to ensure that American citizens who are eligible to vote can vote?
Well, let's start with the following. The Constitution gives the power to state legislatures to set the election rules in their states. But it also has an exception that says the federal government can set election rules for federal elections, and they supersede any state rules that might apply when you're dealing with federal elections. This means that any and all of the provisions that the Congress passes to ensure fair, safe, and easy voting would supersede any state laws that conflict with it. So the Congress has the ultimate power here in dealing with federal elections. Now, the kinds of things that are being looked at are no excuse voting by mail. A number of states have had that. There was an increase in those opportunities because of the pandemic in 2020. And now a number of states are trying to backtrack or limit the ability to vote by mail by putting all kinds of restrictions on who can vote by mail. There's another key provision that requires each state to give at least 15 days of early voting to eligible voters, which means that you don't have to stand in long, long lines. You can go and vote early for 15 consecutive days before the election.
Which, of course, would include a weekend, which is wonderful for people who work during the week. During this past election, so many voters were able to take advantage of that, going the weekend before the election without worrying about having to skip work, etc. Although, of course, their jobs should allow them to take time off anyway.
Yes. And, for example, there is in Georgia a program of Souls to the Polls, in which Black churches, in the month of October, after election, after church services, get into buses and go to the polls and vote. The Georgia effort is to completely restrict that by only allowing one weekend day in the month of October where people can vote. That's directly aimed at reducing the ability of Black Americans to vote. And there are all kinds of efforts that are being done in the name of restrictions that are aimed at greatly reducing the voting of people of color, particularly in urban areas and big cities and in other rural areas in the South.
Let's talk about that.
Would all be overridden,
right,
by the For the People Act if it was enacted.
Which is why, of course, Republicans are terrified, because apparently when there are fewer restrictions to voting, when people can't properly exercise their constitutional right to vote, they worry they will lose elections. And so let's talk about some of the Republican responses. Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, just was so blatant in his responses on Wednesday during the first Senate hearing. He basically said there is no voter suppression act actions. There's no efforts around the country to reduce access to voting. And then he simply called what Democrats were doing a power grab. A power grab implies that something nefarious is happening, right?
Yes, and here is the rather strange thing about all of this. Yes, the Democrats won the presidential election. They lost seats in the House. They did not do well in the Senate.
Or well enough,
anywhere
at least
near as well as they expected. They lost state legislatures around the country. The Republicans did very well under this system in many races. Mm. And yet the Republicans are looking at all of this voting as a grave threat to their future existence. Now, frankly, I was a witness at the Senate hearings on the campaign finance and ethics parts of this bill. But what the Republicans did was simply tell blatant lies about what the bill does. I mean, you had Senator Cruz claiming that this bill would allow millions of illegal immigrants to register and vote, which is simply not true. But, you know, ever since former President Trump, a lot of people like to call him the former guy. I think that's a good description. Ever since the former guy set the world's record for lying in office while he was president, it's kind of legitimized it among a class of people, a class of voters who follow him. So there is no compunction in Washington on the Republican side about making false claims, the same kind of false claims that the president made, all in the goal of suppressing voters and disenfranchising voters. And we just haven't seen anything of, we've seen efforts to suppress voters over the years. We have never seen anything like this since the Jim Crow era, when segregation laws made it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for Black voters to vote and for other voters of color to cast votes. I mean, this is being conducted by the Republicans in the state legislatures and in Congress as if this is a war that they have to win. And the irony of all of this stuff is predictions about how these kinds of rules, voter rules, campaign finance rules, what the impact will be, never quite measure up to what people think. But in this case, we know that the efforts in the states that are going on, if they prevail, will dramatically suppress voting in this country and will harm people who normally vote Democratic in terms of making it far harder for them to vote.
Let's talk about the filibuster, Fred. This is basically the obstacle to pretty much any bill that Democrats want to pass, except for those that they might be able to get through a budget reconciliation process, which is how the American Rescue Plan was passed. But how important is the doing away of the filibuster to making progress on the For the People Act? We've just heard that Maine Senator Angus King says he supports getting rid of the filibuster, or at least making an exception for the For the People Act. Even Joe Biden, during his press conference on Thursday, said that he is very much considering supporting changing the filibuster rules. What do you think?
Well, we're not going to pass the For the People Act without a change in the filibuster rules. I don't know that we're at the stage yet where we can get the votes, if people want the votes, to completely do away with it. But here's the history. The filibuster used to be an exception. It was used rarely. It was used on civil rights laws, which is why the rules were changed in 1975. But it used to be rarely used until Senator McConnell came along and set a record, a historic record for conducting filibusters during the Obama administration. He uses the filibuster's rules not to protect the minority, but to rule the majority. And he uses it to prevent Congress from acting, to prevent administrations from getting their agenda. That's what he did in the Obama administration, and that's what he'll do again in the Biden administration, if he's allowed to do it.
He has promised a scorched earth response if it does happen. I'm not sure what that means. It's not as though he's holding back until now anyway. How much worse can he do than what he's been doing?
That's the statement of someone who's worried. And most people don't know that the last person to change the filibuster rules in the Senate was Senator McConnell. He made an exception to the filibuster rules in 2017 for the confirmation of Supreme Court justices. And we then proceeded to have three Supreme Court justices confirmed under the new exception without being able to get 60 votes. They never would have been confirmed. So our position is simple. We do not believe that if you can have an exception to confirm a Supreme Court justice, you cannot have an exception to repair our democracy and enact the rules of our democracy. It just makes no sense. The Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. The Congress makes the rules that implement the Constitution for the way that our democracy functions. So our view is has to be an exception to the filibuster rules for the For the People Act, and that there ultimately will be an exception. We cannot allow Senator McConnell to have veto power over these rules, nor can we allow it in the long term to allow him to block everything the administration wants. So that's going to be a huge battle. These rules have been changed before. They were changed in 1979. They were changed in the 2000s, and they will be changed again. You don't have the votes right now to totally repeal the filibuster rules. But we will reach the point where we get where we can make exceptions to the filibuster rules. This For the People Act is going to have to be the first one. And if the Republicans try to stonewall everything in the Senate, as they have been doing, there will be other exceptions to follow.
So from this point onward, with the hearings on the For the People Act, say the filibuster rules were removed or there was an exception made for this particular bill, do Democrats have at least 50 votes? Do they have, you know, all their own people plus the two independents that caucus with them to the point where theoretically with Kamala Harris as a tiebreaker, they could pass 51 to 50?
I wouldn't say they do have it right now. I will say they will have it by the time we get to the point where we have to get the 50 votes.
I would imagine that, you know, senators like Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin, these moderate, well, we should really call them conservative Democrats, they depend on better access to voting too. I mean, if they're worried about not winning re-election, you would imagine that they would support rules that ensure voters who vote Democratic have the proper right to vote.
Well, it just so happens that Senator Manchin issued a very important statement, which he recognized that we need to pass rules that deal with voting. We need to pass rules to change the campaign finance system. He still, in his statement, takes the position we have to do this by bipartisan votes. But here's what is facing us. We used to, and I worked for decades with bipartisan leaders getting bipartisan votes on campaign finance reform and other democracy reforms. It's only in recent years and under the leadership of Senator McConnell that they have blocked everything. So if Senator Manchin's position is that we have to get bipartisan support for these reforms, it now falls upon the Republicans to come forward and offer it. And they won't, because they object to all of the provisions in this bill, the major provisions they oppose. If they will not change their position of stonewalling these reforms, which is the position they had in the House where no Republicans voted for it, it's the position they have in the Senate right now, then the Democrats are going to have to pass it with only Democratic votes. And at that point, after efforts have been made to get Republican votes, I think the door will be open for 50 Democrats to vote for this bill.
And we know now that
Senator Schumer has said this legislation will be coming up in April.
We know that several Republican senators have announced their retirement. They are likely going to be primaried by people to the right of them, the pro-Trumpers. Biden has a very narrow window to really do anything legislatively between now and 2022, because with a 50-50 Senate split, it's far too terrifying a notion that that Republicans could gain even just one seat. If they could flip even just one seat and then replace retiring senators with those who fall even to the right of the existing ones, we could see post 2022 Senate be, you know, just another legislative graveyard, right?
Well, yes, particularly if these voting right restrictions laws are passed. That will make it exceedingly difficult for Democrats to hold the Senate. But if they are passed, the Republicans have a number of seats that are in play in 2022. There are more Republican seats up for re-election than Democrats. So the Democrats have a real opportunity to hold the Senate in 2022. It's threatened by these retrogressive voting laws. But we also know that the last time that Republicans nominated very, very conservative senators to run in swing states, they lost those races. So one of the ironic threats that Republicans are facing is that they're going to nominate Trump-like candidates for the Senate who are too conservative, too right-wing to win Senate seats in their states. That's a problem the Senate Republicans have. But there's no question that that the Senate and the House are going to be up for grabs in 2022. And that is why the Republicans are making such an effort to suppress voting in the 2022 elections in order to help Republicans take control of the House and Senate. And if that happens, then President Biden will face the last 2 years without the ability to get anything done in Congress.
Fred, give out a website for your organization, Democracy 21.
Yes, it's www.democracy21.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's a pleasure, and the battle goes on.
That's right. Thank you so much again. Fred Wertheimer is my guest. He's founder and president of Democracy 21. We've been discussing the For the People Act, which the Senate had its first hearing on this week. And my guest was a witness at one of the subcommittee hearings. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.